Welcome back, everybody. It's your time to ed up on the Ed Up Experience Podcast, where we make education your business. And we're doing that here at Gen Zabar Jam, Jam 2023 Gaylord Palm Resort. I gotta say,
this place is freaking awesome.
We love it here in this hotel. We love the people that we're interacting with. And we took a pitch. We were talking with a previous guest co-host of mine, Steve Courage. He's back. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Joe, how are you? Everything's going great. We're having a great jam and wrapping up the week strong.
I'll do an official intro of you in a minute, but you said nice. Me and my coworker, we agree on everything, and we'd like to come and bring our complete agreement with each other onto your podcast. And I said, that sounds like it'd be an interesting episode that you guys agree on everything, right? So we'll see how it goes. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest, one of two, Steve Courage, VP of Enrollment Marketing at Spark 451, a Gen Zabar company. Steve, thanks for coming back. And his compadre here, Mike McKettrick. He's VP of Creative and Interactive Services for Spark 451, a Gen Zabar company. Guys, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having us, Joe.
Was that true, what Steve told me about you, Mike, that you agree with everything he says?
Well, everyone in our organization thinks they like to sit around the conference room table and listen to us argue about different things in different meetings. So I don't think it's actually very true.
Whoa!
We're going to find out today. One of the topics that I would like to discuss, and I find this topic fascinating because I am in this world too. So this topic resonates with me and my background in enrollment and marketing, right? So I am a senior vice president of enrollment and marketing at my institution. And we come from different backgrounds at times. There are people who work in enrollment and marketing that come from education. There's those that come from marketing. There's some that fall in. And so my first question to you guys is, what is the best background for somebody to succeed in marketing in higher education? Steve, you go first.
Yeah, I'll take the lead and say, if you haven't been in the war room, if you haven't actually presented to a board, if you haven't actually gone through it with a president where you're down 50 students and had to make it up, you probably have a deficit of how you're actually going to put together a strategy that will make things back. And I think it's great to have partners, but the partners that truly appreciate us recognize that we have people with really strong in-office higher ed enrollment experience. So I think the background is first higher ed enrollment and then get your marketing skills to the other.
Mike.
Well, I got to say, based on my background, Joe, that I do disagree that...
Amazing!
That there's a certain framework, a frame of mind that one has to have to market anything, to sell something to someone, to have them come on board and understand where you're coming from a value perspective. And that's, to me, a marketing background. Someone who has this idea that you're marketing a product, that product being higher education, the value that belongs with that. You have to identify that audience. You have to understand the platforms that they're engaging on. And you really have to have a method of evaluating your performance and continuously optimizing that. So to me, that's a marketing framework through and through, and you can definitely learn the little bits of education. I'm just kidding about that. There's actually very big bits of education that you have to learn, but the marketing background is to me the superior foundation for higher education marketing.
Steve, now what I heard you say is that the clients might respond in a different way if they know that you have been where they are. And that they're not going to respond. I heard you say this, that they're not going to respond the same way typically if somebody hasn't been in that same spot. And Mike's saying, well, but marketing might be separate of that, right? Because you're talking about personas and you're talking about, so what do you think about that?
So, well, let's put one thing aside. First of all, I think for the listeners to know, you know, Mike and I have been together, working together and friends since like the mid-90s. And Mike is a bit of a unicorn. But what makes him a unicorn is that it's incredibly rare. You don't have somebody who can blend together experiences. So that's why. So we're going to take Mike out of the sort of conversation.
Mike, you're out. Sorry, he just took you out of the whole conversation.
But now that I've removed him from the conversation, I can definitely say that he's giving you really bad advice and he's wrong.
Excellent.
And my point is that there are tactics and there are experiences that lead to both a level of knowledge and a level of ability that somebody needs to bring from having been on campus, deal with families, speak to families directly, hear their thought processes, hear a student's thought processes, do that for years, counsel hundreds of families, and you form a macro view of how you're going to work with prospective students at all levels, undergraduate, graduate, adult learners, so forth.
Mike, you not, because he just said basically you're just categorically wrong.
So I think there's another dimension here in higher education that one needs to understand: the institution as a brand that has a promise it's bringing to its audiences, a promise that they find distinctive and valuable. And I often find that it takes a little while to, and the enrollment people do get it, it takes them a while to really understand and grasp that. There's sort of another layer of individuals at universities who might be in a marketing office or advancement that have that perspective. And then there's a different recruitment-oriented, sales-oriented mindset that's in the admissions office. And when you can blend those two together, as Steve has done in his career very successfully, to his credit, beautiful things happen. And so, you know, there's a balance, and I think really cool things happen in life at the intersection of disciplines. So whether it's my viewpoint that marketing's the superior foundation or Steve's viewpoint that enrollment's the superior foundation, ultimately you have to blend the two together and arrive at that skill set that's going to deliver for your institution.
I like what you said there, because you in my mind, I think about cultivation and capture, right? In enrollment management, I'm trying to capture right now. I need the student. I need him for my next start. I'm thinking about lead conversion versus cultivating, you know, a base of students that might come next year. And that messaging is different. Is there a difference between enrollment marketing and brand marketing?
I think there used to be. I don't think there is much any longer.
Mm.
Maybe just the call to action. But I think in general, you'll find the large set of the macro set of schools in the country using similar tactics, similar approaches. On the enrollment marketing, again, the call to action might be very specific. The personalization might be much more robust. But in general, I think you'll find that marketing offices are setting the brand. They're setting their creative, and they're doing it with enrollment in mind.
What do you think, Mike? Is there a difference in enrollment marketing and marketing?
There are 3,000 universities vying for attention. 3,000, you know, public and private four-year institutions.
Epic.
And a lot of them have the same offerings, but a lot of them do have some things that are distinct about them. And I think it's branding's job to identify those attributes of the university which are unique and distinct, and to clearly and effectively communicate them repeatedly. And not only just to repeat them to their audiences, but to help the internal audiences understand what those brand attributes are and to live them out. So it's not just a communication issue. It is a business process issue, it's a cultural issue, and then ultimately becomes a communications issue. And you need to have that perspective to make the distinction between brand marketing and then communicating now to the world, which is enrollment marketing.
So could somebody who comes up through enrollment really understand true brand marketing, or do you have to come from a company outside that is big in brand and product and like that, and bring them into higher education for them to fully understand what brand marketing might be? Like, there is a disconnect, right? And we've talked, I see institutions across the country, they go, you know what, we're going to hire somebody who does marketing from some other, you know, industry outside of higher ed because they understand high level brand marketing. Can you be a great brand marketer coming up from enrollment, coming up from marketing in inside higher ed?
I think you can become one, but I think ultimately you probably won't have the time and inclination for providing the full level of energy that'll be required to give that brand development and that brand foundation to university and carry it through to all the constituents who have to live it out and communicate it. You're going to be that person who's going to become the brand champion for prospective students. And you certainly could be the person who helps develop it, but the experience that goes into it higher education institutions are very often hiring from outside and bringing in a person who has, you know, product management or product branding backgrounds. So I think it's possible that an enrollment person can become that champion, but generally higher education institutions are looking elsewhere for that brand champion institutionally.
Steve rolled his eyes at you. I want you to know that while you're talking.
As usual, Mike's been day drinking.
Attention.
He's out of his mind.
You can't handle the truth.
Steve, I don't drink anymore, but I don't drink any less.
Cheers.
Look, the enrollment people are the ones communicating the brand differentiators for years. Like, they're the ones walking, talking billboards of the institutions communicating the brand. If they don't understand the brand, nobody in the institution will understand the brand. So, yeah, Mike, you got to stop day drinking.
Well, so on that note, we're going to switch topics. So I'd like to come to another topic, and it's one that is discussed quite often, but maybe I would say that it's changing, and that's the role of the traditional undergraduate serving institution. And what is the role of a traditional education? I'm 18. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to spend 4 years there. I think I'm going to get value out of it, or is there an ROI on it? Is there not an ROI? What is ROI for a traditional four-year university? What's the value of it? There's a lot of different perspectives on what that four-year bachelor's degree should yield. Mike, start with you. What do you think?
Well, for me, Joe, it's really a coming of age experience that has to be lived out by the students. And it's a period of discovery. A liberal arts institution has great academic minds, great scholars who've dedicated their lives to studying subjects that they want to share with students. And I think students should come into university with an open mind, really not knowing what they they want to work on and build a career in. They should just have an open, a tabula rasa, a clean slate that can be molded and formed in great classes, studying the classics, studying the great works of literature, the great scientists, the history of the world, and then discovering what they like to do in that. For me personally, that was my experience at a liberal arts college. My dad was an engineer. He wanted me to go to engineering school. I said, let me find the cheapest college that I could transfer from there to an engineering school. I wound up discovering liberal arts and graphic design and writing. I studied modern dance. I really took everything I could from this liberal arts experience, and then ultimately at the end built a career out of it. My dad was asking me the entire time, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? And I was like, Dad, don't worry about it. I'll figure it out. And I did figure it out with, a career in advertising and marketing, connecting those dots, so to speak, between writing and design and creativity. And I just, you know, that to me is what the college experience is about.
Steve, I know you agree.
to all the young
outrageous
listeners, all those young listeners out there, all those budding men and women out there, you got to have a job if you want to be with me, right?
So yes.
So save the praise. Give me a raise. I want a job, right? It's careers.
Jiggity job.
Get me focused. Get me focused on a career. Get me focused on a job. And get successful in that. You know what? There's something that's out there that's paying for all the door dashing and the Uber Eats. And
it's fuzzy math.
It is fuzzy math, right? Because there's something out there paying for it, and students quickly realize while they're doing modern dance that it's like it hits them like a ton of bricks that they got to get out and start making money.
Ah!
Shots fired.
So
yeah, I was gonna say, shots fired in the deck.
I'd love to see some of that modern dance video, by the way.
Cheers.
The schools that are providing the experiences around mentorship and career focused programs are the ones that are succeeding. I point out, you know, the Elevate program at Moravian University. It's about focusing you on a career from before you step foot on the campus through all 4 of your years and making you successful right out of school. and providing you a career path, and you see it's resonating. They're blowing up in enrollment, they're blowing up in popularity. So I give huge kudos to them. And I think that I appreciate what Mike's saying about students wanting experience. We know that we know that Gen Zers want experiences, but my point is they're better off getting that job, getting a paycheck, and then go finding those experiences.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm sure.
Mike, any return that to that? I mean, you know, he basically is saying that if you don't have ROI, math ROI, then the value's not there.
So what I'll say to that is there are certain people, for one reason or another, who are all in on going for it and getting a high-paying job coming out of college. They know what they want going into it. They're focused. Their parents may have done a great job raising them and convincing them that that's what they need to do. But then there are other people who are, and other students who just really haven't figured it out yet for reasons unknown, for their life circumstances. They're just in a place where they just don't know. And for those students, that discovery period has to happen. And we need to give them time to do that. We need to allow the university to do its magic, to do its work, to go through the core curricula that are put together, to allow students to, you know, sample different academic offerings, different fields, maybe get an internship here or there and figure out what they want to do. And that's what that connecting hub and spoke experience that a university should provide. That's their role. And for those who already know what they want to do, you know, that's, they're on a fast track, and God bless them.
Well, you know, one of the things that it's interesting about what you say is that the university can do both, but doesn't market what you're saying very well. It doesn't market the, you know, we could give you these skills, but we do want you to try this stuff first. We are poor, universities, higher education, about saying what we actually do. Do you think, Steve, that institutions can do both of those things, but have to get better at giving the message? Do you think there's too much bureaucracy and curriculum drain and it's too dusty?
Well, one thing for sure, Joe, higher ed is glacial. Right.
Excellent. So
at the same time.
Yeah. So, you know, when they need to be a little more agile and change their messaging and make it more contemporary, I think you see some schools doing a good job of it, and the majority of schools need to catch up. And I think you're right.
Contemporary could be another dance term too, since we were talking about modern dance.
Yeah, he was all about modern dance. I don't know if it's contemporary though.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
I'm regretting disclosing that thing.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I want to leave the last word because our 20 minutes is already up here on this episode. Incredible. Steve, what do you want to say about higher education marketing, Spark 451 to the audience?
We pride ourselves on a few things at Spark 451. We pride ourselves on strategy, creativity, collaboration. And we do that really well with our partnering schools. We partner with about 90 schools around the country, and we're good ambassadors to their brand, we're good ambassadors to their budget, and we drive in results. I'll add that when we named the company, we love the word spark. We spark energy, we spark creativity, we spark results. And 451 degrees Fahrenheit, Joe, is the burning point of paper. And for us, that means that it's a nod towards a digital era, but two, maybe just our ideas are that hot that things are burning up. So,
oh yeah.
Mike, what do you want to add about Spark 451? Sorry, I couldn't get it out.
I'll just add that for us, it's all about taking a really personal approach, using data of what we know about the students and connecting them to the distinct elements of a university and their strengths. And where those two things overlap, the students' interests and the university's strengths, is where they find their fit. And that's what we're all about, finding the best students for the best institutions and helping students and institutions fuel their futures.
What I like about you guys is that with those opposing opinions, but similar views, you get the best of both worlds at Spark 451. You're going to see it from multiple angles. That's only going to make your institution better. My guest today, Mike McKittrick, VP of Creative and Interactive Services, and Steve Kirch, VP of Enrollment Marketing at Spark 451, a Gensmar company. Did you guys enjoy your time here on the podcast?
Loved it, Joe. Thank you so much. Thanks for including us.
It was awesome. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you, guys. With that, ladies and gentlemen, you've just ed upped.